present Clement Freud, Peter Jones, Derek Nimmo and Kenneth Williams in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Hello and welcome once again to Just a Minute. And as you've just heard from our announcer, Sheila Tracy, this week on our show we have our four regular panelists, our four male chauvinistic panelists, and they're going to try and compete as usual against each other without hesitation, without repetition, and without deviating from the subject which I will give them, trying to talk for just a minute. And we'll start the show this week when we have all four, well, who better, of course, than Kenneth Williams. So, Kenneth, the lovely subject to set off this week's show, bah, and you've challenged already. Clement Freud, why have you challenged?
Well, I was going to suggest I was better than Kenneth Williams. Peter Jones is better than Kenneth Williams. Derek Nimmo, I thought, was better than Kenneth Williams.
And Kenneth Williams also thinks he is, so I think we'll still start with Kenneth Williams. So, Kenneth, the subject is bath night. So I know you're very keen on cleaning your own windows. And will you tell us something what happens on bath night in just a minute, starting now?
I did arrive, actually, in Bath at night, and it was raining, and the motor car deposited me outside this hotel, and I was shown into a bedroom which I can only describe as a complete shambles. And I rang down to the manager. He said, "What is it?" I said, "Look at that bed. Disgraceful. A woman's nightdress." He said, "There's nothing in there." I said, "No, that's the trouble." I noticed, of course, Georgian elegant architecture in this brown-tinted stone for which the city is famous. And I'm told some baths which contain mineral nutrients. When you lay in them, apparently, and get all...
Clement Freud is challenged. Clement, what is your
deviation?
Challenge? Why?
I'm afraid they were closed just the other day.
Yes, but he was talking about when he went to Bath, wasn't he? It was Bath night.
Yes, that's right, Nicholas. That's a very good point, you see. Yes.
He wasn't referring to the fact that it was now. He said when he was there.
That's right. He had gone out of there.
Brilliant. Oh, shut up. I'm supporting you, Kenneth.
Yes, very good point you made.
Well, of course you would agree if I'm in your speaking in your favour.
Yes.
So, Kenneth, I disagree with the challenge. You get a point for that. You keep the subject, and there are 17 seconds left. Bath night starting now.
The other thing I noticed in Bath on that night...
Derek Nimmo has challenged.
Repetition of noticed.
Yes, you noticed something else before.
Oh, well, I was going to say something quite interesting. Now you've just ruined it. Oh, well, just see how interesting you are on Bath.
Well, all right, we'll find out, because Derek Nemo has a correct challenge, a point for that, and 15 seconds, starting now.
Well, I generally run about 4.5 inches of water into my bath, and then I climb in with my little rubber duck, which I play with all the time whilst I'm abluting. And I have some rather nice, pretty pink soap in the shape of Donald Duck, which I rub my...
Clement Freud has challenged.
Repetition of duck.
Yes.
Well, it might be Mickey Mouse. I want to say Mickey Mouse would be much easier.
Clement, that's a correct challenge, and you've got him with 1.5 seconds to go on the subject of bath night, starting now.
Tuesday or Wednesday?
Well, when Ian Messiter blows his whistle, it tells us that 60 seconds is up, and whoever is speaking at that moment gains an extra point. It was Clement Freud, and... he's in the lead, but he didn't get a point before, Ian.
He got one for scoring, and he got one for...
Oh, for sweet, of course, yes. So he's got 2 points into that round, and he's in the lead. Derek Nimmo, will you begin the next round? The subject is squash. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
Squash is a rather nice little vegetable, rather like a marrow, I suppose, that one sometimes eats in Africa and other countries, and you put it on the plate and then you hollow the inside out, and jolly nice it is, particularly if you're drinking with orange squash, which is a drink or cordial which I often consume at the same time.
Kenneth Williams.
People often drink it with, which is a drink, two drinks.
There were two drinks, I'm sorry. Kenneth Williams. Kenneth, restrain yourself a little, please. The audience already with you, and you have 45 seconds, and you have the subject of squash starting now.
I heard about this quite recently from a young boy who said that his school had allowed them to go and play squash and showed me the various marks on his hands.
Peter Jones.
Hesitation?
Yes, I think there was a hesitation there. So, Peter, nice to hear from you.
And, thank you very much.
It's nice to hear from you.
I was very disappointed. I wasn't able to say something about bath night.
You've done the same to me. You've taken advantage.
Then
what goes on behind the curtains?
We'll get back to just a minute. The subject is squash. Peter Jones, you have it, and there are 36 seconds left, starting now.
You can make a very good squash if you get a few lemons, oranges, or other citrus fruit, cut them up into smallish pieces, and pour boiling water over them with some added sugar. If you leave these to cool or steep, put them in a refrigerator to get really very cold indeed. There is nothing more refreshing than this particular type of squash on a lovely summer's day, as we enjoyed this past year. And there is another type of squash which can be made by crystals. You add these to other liquids.
And Derek Nimmer has challenged.
Repetition of ad.
Yes, what a pity.
Three-letter word.
But a very positive one. And again, someone's got in with 1.5 seconds to go. It was Derek Nimmer. He has the subject of squash, a correct challenge, and 1.5 seconds starting now.
I climbed the underground in this frightful squash it was.
So at the end of that round, Derek Nimmer got that point for speaking as the whistle went, and he's now in the lead. Clement Freud, will you begin the next round? And the subject is profits.
What?
Will you tell us something? Profits. Can you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
Profits, I suppose, basically, is what happens if you purchase something at a lower price than that for which you sell it. And the ensuing money, which you may keep in your pocket, a bank, a purse, or wherever, is known as profit. This government, unfortunately, seems to feel that profit is a dirty word, as a result of which they nationalize almost anything which is even remotely profitable, take it into public ownership, and by virtue of employing many hundreds of thousands of civil servants, make quite sure that whatever it is that we have accumulates vast losses, as a result of which our taxation goes up, our morale goes down, and the audience for just a minute doesn't turn up because of the high price of coming in and listening to the rubbish that we have to talk.
No charge for coming to see just a minute.
I'm glad you challenged on that. In case some people get the wrong idea, of course, being a BBC studio, we do not charge. The audience are allowed
travel.
Absolutely free.
Travel.
What's that?
Travel.
No, you conveyed that they were charged for coming in, and no. That was a devious...
The cost of coming here.
What's that?
The cost of coming here.
What?
Is it the cost for coming here?
The cost for coming here. Well, I thought he said the cost for coming in.
I thought he was coming in to see just a minute. That's what I thought.
I'm sure he said for coming in to see just a minute. All right. So I will put it to the audience because there seems to be some doubt. Peter Jones seems to think they said that. So if you think that Clement Freud didn't, then you will cheer for him. And if you think that he did, then you boo for Peter Jones and you all do it together now. You all believe that Clement didn't say that and you definitely didn't pay. And so he continues for 6 seconds on profits, starting now.
In the Bible.
And Peter Jones has challenged.
Hesitation.
Yes.
But you're not going to lay down and take that, are you? You're not going to sit there and take it.
Well, it's 4.5 seconds. 1.5 seconds pause. 4.5 seconds on profits, Peter, starting now.
Selling is something that can only be done in a seller's market, and that's really what we're enjoying.
So, at the end of that round, Peter Jones was speaking as the whistle went. He's now equal in the lead with Derek Nimmo and Clement Freud. And Kenneth Williams is only 1 point behind. Peter, it's your turn to begin. The subject is selling from profits. We've already mentioned something about it, but you can mention the word again in this round of just a minute, starting now.
Yes, that's something that we are more concerned with nowadays than we were in the past, because it's all done in a very different way. In order to get these enormous profits in supermarkets and banks, they've employed computers and automatic wrapping machines and various things of that kind, while they've stopped worrying about the actual customers, because it's done for the convenience of the shareholders and the people who are running it, largely. I mean, the ordinary person who just drops in to make a small purchase has to go right to the back of the supermarket, or, alternatively...
Derek Nimmo's challenge.
Just for amongst other things, supermarket.
Oh, yes, supermarket, yes. I think he was finding it as boring as anybody. but he did go on that attack for 35 seconds, or 34, so there are 26 left, Derek, to talk on selling starting now.
Could be so much more fun the old days selling, didn't it, really? One used to hear the cries of London, people selling lavender, perhaps, or hot cross buns, if it was that time of the year, or even, indeed, at this particular month in which we are, goodness knows what it is, they might be selling gooseberries. Now, if you hear people singing about a lovely... something which I'm trying to flog to you, that was frightfully attractive, and I did like it very much indeed. But today, life is rather sad, and when you hear things being sold...
Selling, Derry kept going until the whistle went. I don't think anybody else wanted the subject, actually. And he was speaking then as the whistle went, as I said, and gained an extra point. He's taken the lead again. Kenneth Williams. Kenneth, would you like to wake up, because it's your turn to begin? The subject is Augustus Gratianus, or Gratianus, and there are 60 seconds, of course, starting now.
Gratianus ruled in what was really a triumvirate with his half-brother Valentinian II and his uncle, who was Valen. But with the defeat of the latter-named gentleman, the man we're discussing, Gratian, he is continually referred to in Gibbon's Rise and Fall, or Decline, or whatever it is, the thing he wrote. Well, he was knocked off by Maximus. Now, the interesting thing is that this man was a consul in Great Britain at the time. So this question really has got great bearing as far as our country is concerned, because he marched from this island to Gaul and defeated Gratianus.
Clement Freud is challenged.
You can't... deviation, you can't march from this island to Gaul.
No, you'd
have
to cross the sea.
The channel is
yes.
Too deep.
Yes. I agree with the challenge, Clement, and you have 13 seconds to talk about Augustus Gratianus starting now.
What I remember particularly well reading about Augustus Gratianus is that he was put to death at Lyons, and I always wondered whether it was a nippy, a cup of tea, a crumpet, or a tea...
Clement Freud has regained the lead alongside Derek Nimmo, and it's Derek's turn to begin. And the subject, have you already mentioned him once? Donald Duck. He was in your bath earlier on, but will you tell us something about Donald Duck in just a minute, Derek, starting now?
Of course, I'm absolutely delighted to be able to talk about Donald Duck again, because I was indeed referring to him a moment ago when I was in my bath, and jolly nice companion he is, because he's pink and he has a yellow beak, and I gets a bit washed off now, you know, because I start off, he was about 2 inches tall when I first bought the fellow, but now with a lot of rubbing away, because I start on my toes and gradually work up around my knees and then up eventually to my head, and he is getting all the time, but he is a character invented, of course, by Walt Disney, that splendid man who died in, what, 1966? Isn't it 11 years ago already? And in Burbank. That's where he lived and created this wonderful little creature, this dear little duck, which has probably changed the history of the world more than anything else.
Kenneth
what?
Williams,
two littles.
Yes, there were.
Yes.
This little chap, this little duck, and there are 26 seconds for Donald Duck, Kenneth, starting now.
There's a sort of quack, quack, quack.
Derek Nimmo's challenge.
Repetition of quack, quack, quack.
I won't be unkind to say it was just a repetition of... but we know what you mean. There are 24 seconds for Donald Duck. Derek, starting now.
If one goes to the cinema in St. Martin's Lane, which is dedicated to his memory, you'll be able to pop in and see Donald Duck films and ones with Pluto and Minnie Mouse.
Peter Jones is challenged.
This cinema isn't dedicated to the memory of Donald Duck.
No, you're quite right, it isn't.
Well, thank you very much.
And there are 13 seconds for Donald Duck with you, Peter, starting now.
Really quite an invention, because the comic value that he manages to put over does compete very well with living performers, which, of course, is a great worry to all members of Equity on account...
With another extra point for speaking as a whistle wind, Peter Jones has now come up into second place with Clement Freud, and they're both only 1 point behind Derek Nimmo, our leader. Clement, your turn to begin on the subject Aladdin. From Donald Duck to Christmas, Aladdin, 60 seconds starting now.
Aladdin is a tale which I don't remember terribly well, other than I was frequently worried and concerned about a woman shouting, "New lamps for old," or it could have been an old man.
Derek Nimmer has told
you. Well, it wasn't a woman, it was a man, wasn't it?
Well, wait.
It might have... In the pantomime he saw, it might have been a woman, so he wasn't technically deviating from the subject of Aladdin, so he continues, and there are 45 seconds left, starting now.
What the chap would have had us believe was that if you got this piece of metal and rubbed away with an oily rag, or possibly your elbow, then a huge, enormous, black, large character appeared and said, "Your wish is my command," something few people have said before or since. And in this particular story, of which I was...
Derek Nimmer has chanted
a fairy
story.
No,
yes, there was a story before, and there are 18 seconds now for Aladdin with you, Derek, starting now.
I remember when I was appearing in Aladdin at Chiswick Empire Theatre some 20 years ago, there was also in the company with me 20 German midgets. Now, I lived in the caravan.
Clement Freud has challenged.
A repetition of 20.
Yes, it's been about the 20
yes,
midgets
absolutely.
From 20 years ago. Should have changed the number of the midgets. 9 seconds are left for Aladdin, Clement, starting now.
I think if Aladdin came up to me now and said, "What would be your desire?" Not what I said previously. My certain wish would...
So Clement Freud finished with Aladdin, and he's now taken the lead. He's one ahead of Derek Nimmo, and Peter Jones is only two behind, and Kenneth is only one behind Peter. And Peter Jones, it is your turn to begin. And the subject is what Peter Jones thinks about the last speaker. That's a rather delightfully involved subject. Well, would you start
is
with...
Is it what Peter
what
Jones...
What Peter Jones thinks about the last speaker. Would you start now... Sorry, 60 seconds, starting now.
Well, I've admired Clement Freud for many years, right up until the time I joined him on this game. And since then, of course, my admiration has dwindled steadily throughout as year has followed each 12 months.
Derek Nimmer has chucked.
Yes, it is.
No, the audience reaction to his delightful change of direction on words meant that he was just
hesitating.
Out of breath. No. Peter, an incorrect challenge. There are 42 seconds for what Peter Jones thinks about the last speaker, starting now.
I'm not entirely sure that this well-known speaker, bon viveur, member of parliament and so forth...
Clement Freud.
Deviation.
What?
Well, the last speaker was Peter Jones.
A very good challenge. So, Clement Freud, you have 34 seconds. Take over this subject. And it is what Peter Jones thinks about the last speaker. Peter Jones has challenged.
Hesitation.
You do say starting now, Norman.
I didn't say start now.
No.
I didn't. I'm sorry. I didn't say start now, so I'm going to take it all back. We go back to... There are 36 seconds again. What Peter Jones thinks about the last speaker starting now.
I have heard Peter Jones speaking about Nicholas Parsons, and because this is a family show, I'm reluctant to give the full details, the total wordage or verbiage of his opinion, but fat, ugly, fully made up, old for his age, the youngest veteran in radio, the only person who wears a full makeup to partake in a darts match.
Peter Jones has challenged.
Two coats of makeup.
Utterly devious. Well, that's the quite whole true. Thing. I quite agree. Well, of course I'm wearing makeup. I'm going on to do a television show immediately.
You're
this is over.
You're going to do a darts match.
Yes. Which will be on television. I think we'll get on with the game. Who challenged?
I did.
Yes, you're quite right. It was a very devious challenge on all those revolting things. Peter Jones, you have the subject now. What Peter Jones thinks about the last speaker, 6 seconds, starting now.
It remains to be seen exactly who the last speaker will be at the end of this half hour.
Kenneth Williams has challenged.
It doesn't remain to be seen who the last speaker was, Peter. Use your nut. Anyone can tell who's speaking last, can't they? The evidence of your senses should provide them if you take your glasses off.
At the end of the game, at the end of the half hour.
He was going to add at the end of the game, but I think
you've heard of the last Trump, haven't you?
I think it's something rude.
Well, it hasn't happened yet.
So, Kenneth, I'm going to give this to you, and so that we can hear from you on the subject of what Peter Jones thinks about the last speaker, and there are only 2 seconds left, starting now.
Peter Jones thinks the last speaker, which was me, is brilliant, and I have it on the...
So, Kenneth Williams was speaking as the whistle went. He gained an extra point, and he has moved forward at the end of that round, and he's still in fourth place. But he is going to begin the next round, and the subject is laying the lino. So will you tell us something about that in just a minute, Kenneth, starting now?
I actually bought a roll of lino. I'll never forget the day. It was in Tottenham Court Road, this huge emporium, and I said to the man who was selling the stuff, I do want the best quality, you know, and he said it's Battleship. I said, is that what it's known as? That's the term.
Derek Nimmo challenge.
Deviation is not laying the lino, he's buying the lino.
Yes, I think that's a good challenge, because he did go for nearly 20 seconds. So, Derek, there are 41 seconds left. Laying the lino. Starting now.
So I brought home this lovely roll of Battleship grey lino.
Deviation, he's bringing home a great roll of lino.
Yes, but to be perfectly fair, you've got to bring it home before you can lay it.
Well, you should have said that about me then, shouldn't you? Yes, rotten swine. The rotten unfair.
But the difference was that you took 19 seconds within the context of this game to even discuss the purchase. So I don't think we got to the laying part, and Derek was just on the point of laying, so... you can, don't take that too literally, because he talked about Donald Duck. We're not talking about eggs. Anyway, let's carry on with just a minute, and laying the lino, and there are 38 seconds left, starting now.
So I got hold of my hammer very firmly in my right hand and put a whole handful of tin tacks into my mouth and spat them out one by one, and then bang, I went with the aforementioned wooden thing with a bit of metal on the end, and the end of the linoleum went to the ground, and I rolled it right out, and there it was, shining, looking at me, and had little red spots on it. Have you seen them? Very pretty. And yellow squares in certain areas of the linoleum, and I thought how wonderfully attractive.
Clement Freud has challenged.
Repetition of linoleum.
Yes, because the word on the card is lino and not linoleum.
Oh.
And so Clement had a correct challenge, and there are 12 seconds with you, Clement. Laying the lino, starting now.
Laying the lino is an Australian phrase rather like coming the peanut. And I can remember in Sydney, also Melbourne and all parts of Queensland, old Aussies coming.
Well, it's a very keen contest this week, and they're working very hard to be successful. And Clement Freud, speaking again as the whistle went, has moved forward or edged forward again. He's just ahead of Derek Nimmo, and Peter Jones is only just behind, and Kenneth's still there. And Derek Nimmo, it's your turn to begin. The subject, rambling. Something they never do in just a minute. But would you talk about it in the game starting now?
I suppose my interest in rambling was aroused when I was very young by listening to English radio and hearing a programme called Out with Romney. And how I remember those lovely hours when one used to wander in one's imagination down leafy lanes with Doris and a little dog called Rack. And this gentleman, who was a gypsy, by the way, always used to be pointing to rather curious things that he saw in the hedgerow. And so when I got a bit older, I used to go rambling on my own, with a little knapsack on my back, whistling a happy tune with a pair of very stout brogue shoes on my feet, and off I'd go into the English countryside. And how attractive it is compared with that of most other countries. In the spring morning, with the primroses peeping behind the ripening new leaves in a little nut lane, one would have the most exquisite and delightful ramble and see perhaps a lapwing or a thrush or a starling, all kinds of beautiful...
Clement Boyle is challenged.
Three oars.
It's a very difficult, because we don't challenge for the word O-R, and you see, yes, it's the true. Last round, and I know that if Clement Freud has it, he'll win, and if Derek Nimmo has it, he'll win, and I've got to be fair, because he did repeat the word O-R, so I have
three
to
times
be
in six
honest.
Words. Mm.
Yes, I have to be honest and say, I mean, I have to be just and say, Clement, it was a correct challenge, and there are 5 seconds for rambling, starting now.
My 12-year-old son, who has a slight speech impediment, loves Charlotte Rambling.
If someone had been quick, they could have got Clement then, because their name is Rampling.
He has a slight speech impediment.
Oh. It's very difficult to win with Clement Freud, as you can see. Anyway, I think we should give a round of applause to Derek Nimmo, because he kept going.
Applause,
yes. But now, because he went for 55 seconds with the most delightful picture of rambling, which I enjoyed, and I hope you did. Aren't you going to clap? Well, I told you this would have to be the last round, and you probably have guessed that in view of my earlier comments, only for that reason, that Kenneth Williams was in fourth place, and Peter Jones was only just in third place, Derek Nimmo was in second place, but he was only just beaten by this week's winner, Clement Freud. You have enjoyed Just a Minute and will want to tune in again at the same time next week, when once again we will have 4 panellists, 3 regulars and 1 guest, and myself here trying to keep order and control the show, and Kenneth Williams behaving as he is now. It will be very difficult, but anyway, same time next week, and till then, from all of us here tonight, goodbye.
The chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The programme was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by John Brown.